Yeah. This clicker will click you through the PowerPoint, but I will need to click onto the PowerPoint to make it available for you. That'll go right, or that'll go to the next slide, that'll go to the last slide, and then this does have a laser pointer if you want. Yep. And I'll just leave that right there for you. And I'm going to be, since Melissa's not going to be here today, just making sure that this is
striping of the sidewalk in there. We've looked at like cantilevering and all the various options and else, you know, you're waiting 6 inches quick, like, such a nice little strip of finish top for the finish of the nice little sidewalk here, but I don't think we're going to do it at the price of a window tall. So, yeah, looking to get creative somehow.
Let's go. All right, sorry for the delay, but I just literally got into Oregon and I wasn't supposed to be here tonight, but you need me, so I'm here. Everybody please stand and join me and salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everybody. The meeting of the Josephine County Planning Commission will be conducted according to the Josephine County Land Use Hearing Rules as they apply to legislative actions. A summary of the rules follows. The planning staff will identify and explain the laws and procedures governing this action. If you believe any of the laws or procedures cited are not identified, followed, or correctly applied, you must raise the issue to the chair for a ruling. Clearly raising a legal or procedural issue in order to be understood by the commission and participants will prevent a later appeal of the action. All participants are free to express their views about whether the proposed legislation is good policy or appropriate use of county resources. Any person who participates in this hearing may receive mailed notice of the Planning Commission's final decision by requesting the notice in writing. If the decision is appealed to the Board of Commissioners or if the Board of Commissioners initiates its own review, anyone who participated in this hearing and provides a mailing address will receive notice of the Board's hearing. Participants are obliged to note and follow the rules and procedures. The planning staff present has a copy of the rules. The first item on the agenda is 3.1, amend the transportation element of the county's comprehensive plan to accommodate the current update of the county TSP transportation system plan. Does anyone object to the jurisdiction of the commission to hear this matter? There being none, Josephine County Code sets time limits. Since we only have one other person in the audience, we will play those by ear. The laws and procedures applicable to this legislative item shall be presented by the planning staff as part of the staff report. Rob Brandis, please give us the staff report.
Good evening, Commission. Rob Brandis, County Public Works. I'm just going to tee this up a little bit, and I'm going to hand it off to Eric for the more planning-related side of things, and I will come back up and kind of give it back through the Public Works filter. So just to give you a broad sense of how we got here, a couple, 3 or 4 years back, ODOT approached us and said, hey, your TSP is getting a bit musty. You get to that point. Dates to 04. How musty? Well, I keep it in my window, granted, but you can see the we have a bit of yellowing there on the old ones. So we applied for a TGM grant, got it. That's Transportation Grant Management, and started the process. And I don't want to take away too much from what Eric's going to do, but the short version is this is kind of our guiding document for many of the things we do in-house, supplemented with our maintenance programs. The old version is about 300 pages. The new one's about 140. That's just, as much as anything, a change in how these things are put together these days. They used to be really heavy on individual projects. It's a little more global now to say, hey, that would be neat if we can do these aspirational, bigger moving pieces across the county. So with that, I will turn it to Eric. He's going to get you about a half dozen slides on the planning side of things, and I'll be back in a few.
Thank you. Eric? Hey there, Commissioners. Eric Hesacker, Transportation Planner, Public Works Department. I am moving on to slide 2. This little gadget, see how good I can be with this. So why do we have a transportation plan to begin with, a TSP? I'm going to jump right to the middle of the page. It's because it's a legal requirement. There's an OAR 660-012 that requires us to adopt a TSP and to periodically update it. Now back to the top of the page. The TSP is a long-range plan that guides development of our transportation system over about a 20-year period, give or take a few years. The TSP determines the design and operating standards, providing guidance for implementing any planned improvements. It identifies gaps, deficiencies, and needs for walking, biking, transit, basically multimodal transportation, and it identifies funding opportunities. And as a, by the way, if we did not have this TSP, it's my understanding we could not apply for many of the grants that we apply for and obtain. On a practical level, the TSP provides a basis for land development and conditions of approval. You've seen conditions of approval on many of your staff reports. The TSP provides a rationale for making investments and land use decisions. It ensures the planned transportation will meet the long-term needs of the county citizens, protects right-of-way for any necessary improvements. It provides consistency between state, regional, and local planning, coordinating all three of those levels, and it provides a link to the statewide transportation improvement program. When do we update a transportation plan? As Rob says, ours was getting a little bit musty. I swear I remember there being a rule or a law that it had to take place every 10 years, then I remember every 14, but now we see that it needs to be updated periodically, and that is to reflect growth and change that do happen in various jurisdictions. Most of the current updates of TSPs that I've worked on in my recent years of my career don't include big changes. It doesn't take $1 million for monument and shift it to improvements to New Hope. Things like that don't happen so much anymore. Current updates focus mainly on multimodal travel opportunities. And that's normally the big changes that you're seeing from one TSP that's been adopted to the newer update. Project coordination, schedule, and public involvement. In the spring of 2018, a grant was awarded to Kittleson and Associates to do our TSP update for us. And this is how the majority of TSP updates occur now. The state comes up with grant money, they go through a recruiting process, and they select which consultant that they want us to use. In June of 2018, the project kicked off with some meetings. I'll get to that momentarily. Fall of 2018 through the spring of 2020, there was data gathering, tech memos were produced, and there were meetings of the PMT, the TAC, and the PAC. And then spring of 2020, COVID hit, and things kind of went a little wonky. And here we are today, in September 2022, ready to adopt this update. The project management team, the PMT, consisted of county staff, ODOT staff. The county staff included Nora from the planning department, who has now retired, and also the grant writer was on the project management team. The technical advisory committee consisted of people from the planning commission. Gary DeSimone served some time on this, and I believe Hamid Shakiri also spent time. And John Chambers, thank you very much, that's correct. There was a board member assigned, and I want to say that it was Commissioner DeYoung. And then there were other local officials who participated on the technical advisory committee. We had a project advisory committee, which consisted of stakeholders throughout the community, private citizens. We had a gentleman representing the freight industry. An employee of the school district was on that team. People who participated in neighborhood groups throughout the county. I remember Brian Hawkins was a member of that committee. Rural Planning Commission and Board of Commissioners were part of that. And then we had meetings. We had special meetings with the commission and with the Board of Commissioners. There were virtual public meetings going through this process. And all the while we were working on this update with the consultant, a lot of the documents were kept on the Public Works project website. The major tasks and deliverables, this consisted mostly, as you can see, of tech memos, 1 through 8. These tech memos were compiled over a period of time as we were meeting and providing feedback to the consultant of things that we wanted. I won't read this list. You can see what each technical memo was focused upon. At the end of writing tech memo 8, a draft TSP update was compiled, and finally from that, we formulated the final TSP, and that is the document that you're looking at tonight to be adopted. Oh, here we go. Transportation system plan sections. These are sections of the document. We had an introduction, goals and objectives that we'll talk about here in a second. We had a street plan, a freight plan, public transit plan. There was a plan, I didn't see it so much in this TSP as I've seen in others, but I've seen pipelines being a component of TSPs. Goods are transmitted through pipelines, oil and gas, etc. Transportation system management and demand management were addressed. There was an air transportation plan, a non-motorized transportation plan, a rail plan, and then the plan implementation strategy itself. The goals and guidelines, these tie into the Oregon statewide planning goals and guidelines, and you can see these goals 1 through 8 on this slide. Communication, collaboration, and coordination, safety, goal 3 is mobility, connectivity, you guys see that, I'm sorry, you commissioners see that on your comprehensive plan amendments with your zone changes, you see connectivity in there. Goal 5, community and economic vitality. Goal 6, environmental sustainability. 7, strategic investment. And goal 8, land use and transportation integration. This will conclude my portion of this PowerPoint presentation. Mr. Brandis will take it from here.
So I just wanted to highlight a couple things on the public works side and to kind of tie into what we do, because I'm not sure how much all of you know, but this will be a good backstory. I wanted to focus on Chapter 3, the street plan. This is the biggie for us in the TSP. Not to belittle any sections, but I don't really care about rail or air or those kinds of things. This is the biggie for us, our guiding document. It does include the existing plans there, as you can see. So the interchanges, 55 and 58 and 61, all have IAMPS, as ODOT calls them. Those are the same idea, 20-year forecast, what's going to happen at those intersections. Exit 61 is a perfect case. I think that IAMP went in about 2012. There's obviously been tons of improvements in the meantime, but that's just ODOT trying to get out in front of these known ongoing concerns to build them out. The distinction between the 199 Expressway and the corridor, the 199 Expressway is Tussie out to, and I'm going to get it wrong, I think Hubbard. It's considered an expressway classification that really you don't see or feel anything as you drive it, but that's just ODOT's higher designation for that area. And then the corridor plan is the one that ODOT's working on right now. That's going all the way out from the Applegate to the state line, which is more safety focused and trying to address just the known issues that that road has. We had for a while thought about bringing these two things up concurrently to the commission, but that one has slowed down, and quite frankly, this needs to be in the can for us for financial reasons by the end of the year, and I'm not convinced that the 199 corridor plan will get there. So here we are by ourselves. The 2040 operational analysis, that's what everything is based on in this plan. So what the consultant will do is try to project out, what are these intersections going to do in 20, 30, 40 years? How many people are going to ride their bikes where? And so by using existing levels of traffic flow, they're able to project that forward to say, hey, this might be a C level of service at this intersection, but we know in 20 years it's going to be an F. We probably ought to start planning for that. So that also ties into the maintenance deficiencies for us. Not only intersections, but that gives us a bit more guidance in terms of saying, hey, we think over the next 20 years you ought to put more money towards guardrail or chip sealing and pavement preservation, those kinds of things, which we know we do. The plan also identifies safety deficiencies, mostly at intersections, but you know the 199 plan is a perfect example. There isn't necessarily funding, but ODOT uses a 5-year look back to say, here's areas we're seeing a higher than expected number of crashes. And it really does drive a lot of funding. They have high-risk rural roads plans, things like that, where, sadly, if you have a fatality, a fix at that intersection, the chances go up crazy. That's just, unfortunately, the gross math, but that's really what it comes down to a lot of times. Number of crashes determines it a bit, but fatalities frequently will fund improvements there. It feels after the fact, but that's the metric to use. And then the TSP has an action plan, and as I called it, how do we get there? So it's got a million different neat things to do in there. How much can we actually do, and how fast can we get it? Let's see. There we go. I've put in this just as kind of a sample, talking about the operational analysis. We picked out these 13 intersections, us and ODOT, as being the most likely to need some major upgrades over the next 22 years, if you will, or 18 years tonight to 2040. None of these are signalized. I would say that these are all possible candidates for signalization. Some of them are probably about certain candidates for signalization, But these would rise above a standard, hey, can we maybe get away with a, you know, improving sight distance and a turn lane? These are going to be, we're putting in signals, potentially it's a, you know, $1 million plus project. So now to get to a little bit of what we do out at our shop. A lot, these are a couple of my budget slides to give you just a sense of scope, kind of for the big payoff at the end. We've been relatively stable in size the last few years. The big change for us was 2017. The state passed the transportation bill that increased funding to public works departments in response to just a maintenance backlog that we knew was happening. So operations is kind of our key. Those are our guys out in the field doing these repairs. And you can see 17, 18 was kind of a low point. But since then, we've held fairly stable at 38, 39. I think we have 35 in the door right now. We've struggled keeping folks on as everyone else has. But that's kind of the sweet spot for us to really be able to accomplish the things we need to do on a year-in, year-out basis. Here's kind of the broader range things we do. And the crossover to the TSP here would be, they wouldn't say, hey, you need to do more ditching here. They would just say, in general, you may want to throw more funding at your ditching program. In general, you may want to think about putting more money aside for guardrail, those kinds of things. It's certainly not getting down to the detail of saying there's too many potholes here, but it's, again, it's just one more data point for them to say, as we look across the system, we think you might be underfunding this program. It's just another quick look at our chip seal to give you a sense of what it's costing these days. 2021-22 came in close to that. This year we were able to lock oil fairly low, but yeah, chip sealing is our primary maintenance activity. It's getting more expensive all the time. At 40 miles a year and probably $35,000 a mile now, it gets expensive in a hurry. So there's $1.4 million that goes out the door real quick. And 40 is probably our bare minimum to kind of hold across the county with 560 miles to keep it even. We budget for quite a few capital outlay projects each year, and admittedly, we probably get to about half. That's just the nature of the beast. Projects, design changes, we roll them to future years. If we don't like numbers, we get on bids. But this gives you a sense of what we have programmed for this particular year. And most of these are in that kind of urbanizing area where we know we have just not done enough capital outlay as the cities continue to expand. Those are still our roads. So. In the case of like a Lower River Road, the city is about touching out there by the sports park. And when we took those roads over from ODOT, they said, hey, you need ADA ramps on this thing. So as the city pushes out, that's where a lot of our horsepower gets thrown. And you'll see this, there's a definite bias towards the multimodal transportation, as Eric mentioned. Just a couple quick pictures to give you a sense. So there would be the Lower River Road, the sports park's on your bottom right. That's what it looks like. These are the kind of spots we look for, though. You got sidewalk in the back. If we do some infill, we could potentially get an unbroken strip of sidewalk all the way back to Lincoln and the sports park. Different, just a different view here. This would be up the top of 10th Street, trying to leverage this as well. ODOT's got some seismic work they're going to start in a couple months there under I-5. We said at the same time, you guys put sidewalk under I-5, we're going to come down 10th and get that filled in. We know the city's going to be coming around and getting Hillcrest after that. So, again, multimodal things that bigger capital projects that we know we need to get funded. That's what it looks like looking up 10th Street. And there at the corner. We like this one because actually there's a fair amount of width, not a lot of utilities, and relatively flat. Here's the sidewalk you were asking about. So, yes, we're looking at a way to value engineer to get sidewalk here. We really don't want to rebuild this bridge, but if we can restripe that to a safe width and get some sidewalk in, that's the plan. And then the money. So the bulk of our funds, as I hinted at, comes from the state highway fund. And that got a bump just prior to this graph. The year before would have been lower. So this represents kind of our new level. And you can see our funding is about $9 million a year. The bulk of that is the highway fund. We get a bit of federal forest receipts still. Those are the timber dollars, down from about $2 million back in the day to $600,000 and dropping quickly. And then the green bar is some federal exchange money that we can use for chip seal as well. So keep that $9 million in the back of your mind. Say $10 million just to make the math easy. So in the TSP, they have three tiers of projects. And they're kind of the financially constrained, as I would say. These are, you effectively have to do these. They're maintenance projects that are just going to get more expensive if you don't stay on top of them. And we're effectively, that's kind of your initial balance point with the TSP to say, hey, if you have X amount of dollars programmed over the life of the TSP, the 20 years, here's the funding to go towards it. Unconstrained are the nice-to-dos. We should probably get to a lot of those if we can. Likely to be funding, so these are going to be things we're going out for grants on. Could be a Safe Routes to School program. Could be one of those high-risk rural roads that I mentioned. And then the Tier 3, these are the pie in the sky. Wouldn't that be neat to have 8 feet of bicycle width on North Applegate? Yes, it would. That would cost $15 to $20 million. So I'm not a betting man, but I bet that wouldn't happen. So as you hear those three tiers, here's what they look like in the TSP. So going back in, remember, we have about $10 million a year over the next 20 years. So let's say we have $200 million of expected revenue the next 20 years. That gets us through the Tier 1s. And about a third of the Tier 2s and not touching the Tier 3s. And I'm not saying that for a dramatic effect or anything else, but that just gives you a sense of scope of not only our limitations budgetarily, but the ambitiousness of a TSP. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's okay because, as Eric mentioned, you know, we need this for a lot of grant applications. The first thing they ask is, which comprehensive plans is blank project noted in? And we need to be able to say, hey, it's in our recently updated TSP. So that's kind of a snapshot of hopefully the both sides of the equation, what's in here, what's feasible for us to do, and why we do it. I think the one other piece that I would add is the other thing a TSP gives us, as well as planning, is just one more tooth, if you will. So when there's development occurring, we're able to work with the developer to say, hey, there is a legit logical reason why we need you to build out this sidewalk. We need you to widen this road. We need you to think about a bus turnout here. It's not airtight. As you know, the commissioners can overrule these if they choose. There's other avenues that can be used to change those. But we try hard to negotiate in our office, as planning does behind the scenes as well. But this is kind of our stake to say, hey, here's what we'd love to get. Here's what we'll probably get. So that's what I've got. If you got questions for me or Eric, love to have a discussion.
Any questions? Go ahead, Jeff.
Hi, guys. I think you answered one of the questions. Apparently, the state made Lower River Road your jurisdiction?
Yep. We did a jurisdictional exchange, as they call it, back in about 2017, I would guess. So they gave us about $6 million, and we took over Lower River Road and that little strip of Lincoln.
Because the population out there, right, does it even, I mean, you have to do it because it's mandated, regardless of the population.
So that was part of the state was delinquent in getting ADA fixes done. They had multiple warnings. They eventually were sued, and they lost. And so ODOT was required to put in either $25 or $50 million of ADA facilities around the state. This was part of the settlement. So when they turned it over to us, it was with the contingency to say, hey, you guys have to get those ramps in within 2027, I think.
The other thing you said that I'm curious about, because, this is probably the only place I've ever heard the multimodal thing about, you said that you guys are really leaning toward bikes and pedestrians, and even in the real rural areas that it's proposed?
No, I think the distinction being that the plans are doing that in general. We're doing it where we can in urbanizing areas. So, we have folks recently, we've been going back and forth with some folks out in Williams, and they say, hey, couldn't you just put this path here? Well, that's $250,000, and if two people a day use it, I can't justify it. If I could put in sidewalk and 10th, and I know the city's going to put sidewalk down Hillcrest, yeah, I can get behind that because that's going to get used a lot. So that's frequently kind of sadly, it's just, yeah, what's going to be the volume of use?
Yeah, and all of the questions that I have are about population density issues and where the money is best spent. But it is all for naught if this, do we vote on these plans after they're, so this is just about the updated version.
Right.
Just approving the updated version. There's no teeth behind anything we do. Okay. Then you've answered my questions. Thanks.
Multimodal's been in discussion. I know Jason's dealt with it a lot, but for the other guys that it's been over 20 years that everybody's been talking about it. Because it's not safe out here on some of these county roads. I mean, we all know it. But, you know, the expense to take the property and widen it and stuff, you know,
we
do what we can. So, and all the new...
Not even the state. I think it's nationally coming that everybody's trying to put it in multimodal and put it into communities so everybody doesn't have to leave their community. And that's what you're seeing a lot of the new communities. Medford's already started them where they're getting the doctors and the dentists and everybody in the inside the center of the place so you don't have to leave and then put walking paths out. So I really would love to see this connect to the Greenway. Connect that on. I'd love to see some roundabout somewhere when obviously we're not going to put them on 199, but there's a lot of other places that could certainly probably be effective.
Yep. And the Greenway's got some actually good headway going right now. There is a plan that just went out. I think it's out to bid. ODOT sent us the final. I think it is out to bid. So they're going to be doing a study to decide, does it stay on the south side of the river or do we look at flopping it to the north? But that is to get it from Rogue River into town here. So I want to say they're putting about $175,000 towards that study. So that will kind of lay the groundwork to say, how do we get that last mile and get the Greenway here to town? I don't know when the building part would start, but again, kind of like a TSP, that's the first big box to check. So
once you got a game plan, you know how to move. So
exactly. It's promising. Yep.
All righty. Thank you.
That's it. All right. Thank you.
Anyone have any questions? Just take a motion to accept as proposed.
I'll make a motion to accept as proposed.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Roll call. Teresa?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And I say yes. Motion passes 4-0. Thank you, guys. That's it. Do we have any matters from the Planning Commission? Anyone have anything? Planning Director?
No.
Two.
He also answered the question about the street light out at James.
Yep.
Yeah, the next step is the street light. We see
accidents
out there. It's that one the other day.
You don't have your mic on either.
No, I'm just chatting.
I know.
I've got, just a reminder on their next meeting will be October 3rd, Monday, October 3rd. That's with a PUD. That'll be
Kayla.
6:00. And Kayla will, this will be Kayla's last land use hearing. She put in her notice. October 7th will be your last day with us.
Bummer.
Her and her husband are heading to Tennessee. So,
don't blame them.
Yeah. The second thing I have is, I believe Melissa sent out an email to the Planning Commission, and I wanted to double check. On September 29th, the DLCD is putting on a training. I know, Ron, you were interested in maybe the Zoom portion of that?
Probably.
Okay. And if you other members will let me know if you want to do that or not, that would be great so I can get all the tickets.
Is it just planning basics, or is there more to it?
The agenda went out with the email. It's actually quite lengthy, and there's actually, I think, a keynote speaker will be our new DLCD director, who was appointed by the director, or the governor, I'm sorry.
Have you been to those before for the Planning Commission training?
I have not done the Planning Commission.
I think they go over a lot of the legal basis of decisions and how to...
Yeah. Ex parte contact.
Ex parte, yep.
And goes over a lot of those issues, too.
I've been to the one from the League of Oregon Cities, a couple of those. But if this is more, and I want to be a part of that.
Yeah. The venue is in Talent, Oregon. So if you want to go, otherwise you can Zoom in, too. You have two options there.
That's my old stomping ground.
So if you can respond back to Melissa, let her know, and then I can get some final numbers. I'm going to be sending staff, some of my staff, to the Friday thing. So anyway.
Yeah, the best one they ever had was the one we did up in Roseburg at the college.
Yeah.
And they actually put us to a plan application, and the plan application is the one in Medford right across from Crater High School.
Yeah.
So our group was really... Oh, we know exactly where that is. So it was very knowledgeable to us, and then have the lawyers come in and talk about, you know, what and this and that, and it was a good session.
Who put that on, Ron? Do you remember who put that one
on? No, that's been like 15 years now, so.
Yeah, I was just wondering.
Yeah, but it was at UCC.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have for you, just those reminders.
All righty. Meeting adjourned.